You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and today I am joined by Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. He's here regularly on the broadcast to help us keep informed as to our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted for their faith around the world, and he's always been an encouragement to hear the stories of what is happening. Even in these places of persecution, we are hearing the stories of people who are living out their faith in remarkable ways with amazing testimonies of the power of the gospel, even in the midst of great trials and tribulations. So Todd, thank you again for joining with us and for helping us as we're looking at the body of Christ, not just here in our own communities, but around the world.
You're welcome. It's great to be with you.
We've been talking for many years now about your ministry, Voice of the Martyrs. So I think our listeners are relatively familiar with the ministry. We make it a very key point to mention it regularly on the broadcast and through we recently sent out the book I Am In, which comes from Voice of the Martyrs as one of our offers. So people had access to that as well. But just for our new listeners or people who might not be familiar with Voice of the Martyrs, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Voice of the Martyrs does and what its purpose is in keeping people informed about the global church?
Voice of the Martyrs is a ministry really focused on persecuted Christians. Our founder actually was a persecuted Christian, Pastor Richard Wormbrand. He spent 14 years in prison in communist Romania. His wife spent 3 years in a labor camp building the Danube Canal. And so they founded the ministry to do two things, really to be a voice for Christians who are facing persecution, to tell their stories, to call American Christians to pray for them and to fellowship with them and to act on their behalf. And then on the other side of the world, to provide help and encouragement, practical and spiritual assistance to those Christians that are facing persecution. And that's, you know, things like Bibles and gospel radio broadcasts and pastor training. It's humanitarian things like help with food and help for a family whose husband is in prison, providing education for their kids, providing food, medical care for those who've been attacked. So really two sides of the coin, one here in America telling the stories, sharing about God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of our brothers and sisters in hostile and restricted nations, simply coming alongside those believers and saying, how can we help you?
And you also put on some conferences and some prayer summits and all these opportunities for people to keep these things in the front of their mind. Why is it so important that we as Christians, we have the mainstream media? Why do we need Voice of the Martyrs to tell us about what's happening around the world?
Well, Hebrews says, remember those in bonds as if you were bound with them. And so we need to know so that we can stay connected. And unfortunately, the secular media doesn't do as good a job as they could of sharing these stories. You know, we'll see a story occasionally on secular media. My perception is it's kind of once a year. There's one story of the persecuted church a year that somehow catches the secular media attention, and they will bang the drum for that. But you know, behind the scenes, there's hundreds of stories going on that they don't tell. And so Voice of the Martyrs really fills that gap and shares the stories. The other thing is we have a very different perspective. You know, the secular media says, oh, this Christian was put in prison. You should feel sorry for him. It's kind of a human rights issue. Voice of the Martyrs says, yeah, there are human rights issues that are involved. But we're going to tell you what happened in the prison. Hey, yes, it was unjust that this pastor was in prison, but while he was there, he shared the gospel with 20 people, and they got saved, and they would sneak into the dining hall at night so that he could baptize these new believers. That's the side of the story that we want to tell, and the secular media is never going to tell you that side of the story. So it's not just, yes, there is abuse, yes, there is persecution. It is, hey, look what God is doing behind the scenes. Look how God is working through these difficult circumstances to spread the gospel and to see new people won into the kingdom.
And I think that's one of the key areas about your ministry and why we have you on the broadcast so often is because we need to be reminded and encouraged in our own faith to see our brothers and sisters who are struggling but still living out their devotion to Christ. You also have a radio ministry, and I know that that has a profound impact in getting the word out. Tell us a little bit about some of the stories that have been that you've been hearing and sharing that would encourage our listeners to see that impact of people that are really living out their faith.
Well, one of the stories, just in the last couple of weeks, I interviewed a man from Pakistan named Brother Samuel, and he leads a media ministry in Pakistan. So he's reaching Muslims through radio, through the internet, with the gospel message. That is not a popular thing. In fact, he said, you know, he picks up his phone often. And on the other end of the line is a radical Muslim who's saying, if you keep doing this, we're going to come for you. We're going to come for your wife. We're going to come for your daughters. He and his wife, actually, for 3 months, they had to stay in separate locations because he was worried. His office has been attacked. His staff has been beaten. And one of the things that have really stuck with me from the conversation with Brother Samuel, I said, so, you know, you're continuing on in this ministry, and you know at some point it could cost you your life. And I said, so, you know, did you just kind of once and for all at some point in the past, you kind of made peace with this idea, okay, you know, God's called me to do this, it could cost me my life, but I'm going to keep doing it. Was that kind of a one time you made peace with that, or do you have to do that every morning, kind of when you wake up and when you go to the office, you say, okay, Lord, I'm yours again for another day. I understand there could be sacrifices. And he kind of chuckled and he said, no, every hour. And I was like, whoa. I mean, he literally said every hour he has to come to that point of saying, okay, Lord, I belong to you. You've called me to do this work, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And if it means getting beaten, if it means having my house burned down, if it means being killed, I'm still going to do that. I still want to serve you in this work. And he said, every hour, that's the conversation that he has in his own heart. And I was just struck by the courage that shows. It's, you know, when you think about those threats being constant and every hour coming to the point of saying, okay, if I have to lay down my life this hour, I'm willing to do that. What amazing courage. And he shared some great stories about what God is doing through that ministry. In fact, he shared the story, the son of a Taliban leader has contacted their office. He said, you know, I saw some of the stuff online. I'm following Jesus now. And so they are reaching people that you and I could never reach. But God is being faithful because of Brother Samuel and his ministry and his willingness to say every hour, you know, yes, I'm willing to sacrifice.
It's remarkable to hear these stories because what we don't realize is the kind of persecution that we're facing here in the United States. We think it's such this great tragedy in this election cycle of all the different things that we're going to have to go through, and it's so hard for us to actually get out and share our faith. And here's somebody who is actually doing that in a way that actually could cost him his life. These are the kind of stories you hear all of the time through your ministry, and you share through your magazine as well as your podcast. These stories really are there, I think, to wake us up to the reality of living out our faith and our walk with Christ, correct?
I think that's so true. And I think one of the challenges, as you hear these stories, as you read them in our newsletter, as you hear them on VOM radio, I think the natural response is, okay, what would I do? You know, if they came to my office and they were beating my staff, would I, you know, close down the office and move someplace safe? Would I think, oh, well, the Lord has closed that door because, look, our staff has just been beaten? Or would I say, okay, let's go forward. Let's keep going. It's such a challenge for us. And as you say, we're, you know, there's some challenges to being a Christian in America. And I think unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, there's more challenges now than there were 5 years ago. And 5 years into the future, there's going to be more challenges than there are now. We need these stories. We need these examples. And we need to start thinking about it now. Okay, what if it's illegal to give someone a Bible? Would I still do that? Or would I, you know, say, oh, well, no, I don't want to do that. What if, you know, people are being arrested for standing boldly for faith in Christ and for biblical principles? Would I be quiet, or would I continue to stand boldly? those are important questions, and it's great for us to have that conversation in our own heart and with the Lord. And the other thing that happens is we have to go to the Lord then, because I think all of us would say, Lord, in my own power, I can't do that. I don't want to be beaten. I can't take a beating and continue serving you and forgive the person who's persecuting me. I can't do that on my own. Lord, you're going to have to help me. And so it forces us to think about our faith, and it forces us to go to God and say, okay, Lord, if I'm going to go through that kind of hardship, I'm going to have your help, because I can't do it on my own.
You've also spent a lot of time and you've traveled to the Middle East, and you've been to northern Iraq. And when all we're getting in the news is kind of these frightful stories about what's taking place in the Middle East, it can cause us to have a one sort of perspective on what is happening around the world. You have a completely different vantage point, don't you? You can see into the stories of those people and the personalities. It's not just a collection of people; they're real individuals when you get down on the ground with them, isn't it?
They are individuals, and in many cases, God is doing just remarkable things. As you say, I've been to the Middle East. I was in Iraq earlier this year and met with pastors, met with church leaders, and they talked about the things that God is doing. And, you know, I'll never forget one of the pastors. He shared the story of he is reaching out to help displaced people who have been displaced by ISIS. And some of those people are Christians, but some of them are Muslims who have been displaced because, you know, they weren't radical enough for ISIS. And so ISIS kicked them out as well. And one of the Muslims said to this pastor that we met, he said, why are you helping me? If our roles were reversed, I wouldn't help you at all. In fact, I would kill you. So why are you helping us? And the pastor had, you know, what an amazing opportunity. Well, let me tell you why. And the chance to talk about, you know, I was helpless in sin, and then Jesus rescued me, and Jesus is available for you too. He can do that for you too. And just an open door to share the gospel. And so many people in the Middle East right now are open to the gospel in a way that they weren't open 5 years ago. ISIS has sort of shown to the world and to Muslims in the Middle East the ugly face of Islam, the radical face, the face that kills and destroys and mutilates. And Muslims look at that and they say, well, wait a minute, if that's what it is to be a Muslim, I don't want to be one. What else is out there? And so into that hunger and into that openness, there are those who are sharing the gospel. They are giving Bibles. They are broadcasting on radio and television. They are speaking truth into that sort of vacuum that is in the hearts of Muslims as they look at what's happening to their countries. And many, many, many are coming to follow Jesus Christ, often at great sacrifice, at great cost, but they have seen the truth of the gospel and they are willing to lay down everything to follow Jesus.
It seems under great duress, and whenever there's persecution, the church seems to flourish. And I think that's an amazing testimony to the gospel. You know, it's different than the sort of kind of negative advertising we're seeing in our culture today, that all of the negative ads are free advertising for a certain candidate or a musician of some type. But the persecution that we're actually seeing in every way should diminish the church, but it doesn't. It doesn't have that power to cripple or to destroy the church. It beckons that statement from Jesus that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You are seeing that on its front lines, and that's why I think it's so encouraging for us to hear these stories.
It is encouraging, and I think, you know, there's a lot of truth that you could unpack out of that. There's a purifying effect that comes from persecution. It forces the church to look hard at itself and look hard, is what I'm doing because I'm following Jesus, or is there some other reason I'm doing it? And the people who are there that are there for some other reason, when persecution comes, they leave. So what you have is a church full of people who are absolutely passionate about following Jesus Christ. They're absolutely passionate that every person should know him. And when you get churches that are full of that kind of people, of course they're going to grow. It's the most natural thing in the world, because those are the people who are out sharing the gospel, and they're inviting their neighbors, and they're saying, hey, you need to know Jesus too. And so the church grows when that happens. And, you know, it's one of the things that I think is a comfort to me as an American. And as we've talked about, you know, things may be heating up for Christians in America. Well, what happens in the places where persecution is the greatest? The church is growing the fastest. So if things heat up for Christians in America, perhaps that is what will turn the American church into something that's growing and becoming more bold and becoming more on fire for Jesus. So, you know, as we think about that, and I'm not, you know, I'm not rooting for persecution. I'm not asking the Lord, please let American church Christians be persecuted. But I have been to these countries and I've seen some of the benefits of persecution. And I know those are things that American Christians, American churches, we could use some of those benefits. We'd like those benefits in our churches.
You have a report of a pastor who was killed in the border there of China and North Korea that's under suspicion now. What information do you have about that that our listeners could know about and be in prayer for? Because it's more than just informing us on how the church can encourage us around the world, but it's also keeping us updated on how to pray for those who are facing those frontline persecutions.
Well, this is a sad story, and it hit close to home. Some of our staff in Asia had worked with Pastor Han Chung Ryul. They knew him quite well. He was a friend and a brother, and they had worked alongside him helping North Koreans who had come across the border into China. He was an ethnic Korean, but he was a Chinese citizen. He was the pastor of a Three Self Church, which is the official state church of China. But he worked and lived right on the border with North Korea. And as people came across, Pastor Han helped them. He gave them food. He gave them clothing. He gave them a warm meal, and he gave them the gospel. He shared the love of Jesus Christ that is almost impossible for a North Korean to hear. So he shared the gospel. Many of those people came to Christ. And one of the really unique things about Pastor Han, and he has been doing this since 1993, so for decades he's been doing this. One of the unique things is when a North Korean came to faith in Christ, he didn't say, okay, you know, now you're safe in China, now we need to get you to South Korea where you can be safe. He said, okay, now you know Jesus. You need to go back across the river and you need to share with your family. You need to share with your friends. You need to be a missionary to take this message back into North Korea. And that is such a unique approach. You know, you get these people that are out of North Korea, they're free, there's enough food for them, and why would they want to go back? And yet he encouraged them, go back, share the gospel. He was killed on April the 30th, and the suspicion is he was killed by North Korean agents who had come across the border. One of his lay leaders had been kidnapped and taken into North Korea. He had been threatened with kidnapping, and it is believed, like I say, the suspicion is that North Korean agents came across to put an end once and for all to his ministry, and he was killed. He left behind a wife and two children. I would encourage people to pray for them, obviously, as they grieve and as they try to recover. Pray also for his church. This is a huge hole to fill for that congregation and for the work among North Korean refugees and defectors. It is just a huge loss, but, you know, we believe God is faithful. We believe God has a plan. He has someone in mind who can pick up this ministry, but it really rocked our workers. It really rocked his family to have this loss.
I'm just curious, tensions with North Korea are very high with the United States, and even China has become a little more active at kind of curtailing what's happening with North Koreans' movements of late. Is this going to be a difficult thing to even investigate, the murder of Pastor Han?
Yes, I would not anticipate that that there will be any charges. I would anticipate that at some point the Chinese government will say, yes, we did an investigation and we don't have any suspects. If it was in fact North Korean agents, the likelihood is they came across the river, they committed the murder, and they went right back into North Korea. So it would be very difficult, to question them or collect evidence against them or anything like that. So the expectation is among our staff that work in that part of the world, basically this case is going to be, open, unsolved forever.
I want to talk a little bit more about what this ministry means here, the northern border of North Korea and China, because I don't think our listeners can fully wrap their minds around. I can't wrap my mind around how difficult it is to get the gospel, to get tracts, to get radios. I know there's a lot of ministries there that you are a part of in many ways of getting the gospel into North Korea. And it might be difficult to even talk about it on the air, but can you tell us a little bit about some of those challenges and what we're trying to do in a world that is so closed off to the rest of the world?
Well, as you say, it is so closed off. There is huge challenges in simply getting the scriptures into North Korea. Some of our really cool projects, though, because the challenges are so huge, the projects that overcome those challenges are really exciting. And one of the things that we do is we launch balloons that have gospel tracts attached to them. We actually use weather balloon technology. The balloons go up, they float over North Korea, and then they release these printed gospel tracts that are printed on plastic, so they'll be waterproof. And they drop, and we can put, literally thousands of those tracks attached to a balloon. It floats up over. We're actually using GPS technology now so we can know where they go, where it releases, where the tracks come down. Another of the projects, and I think it gives you an understanding of the hunger inside North Korea. One of the things that we sponsor is a radio broadcast where someone simply reads the scriptures very slowly so that people inside North Korea can write down what he's saying. Literally, that is the entire broadcast, is simply someone reading the Bible slowly with the idea that people inside North Korea have a pencil and a paper and they're writing down what's being said, because we can't send Bibles into them. We can't, we can smuggle some, but it's a very tiny number. But we can do those radio broadcasts in order for people to be able to write down the scripture. And that's, for many North Koreans, that's the only chance they're ever going to have any portion of the Bible, is what they can hear on that broadcast and what they can write down. So I think that gives you a little clue as to how closed off the nation is. When someone will sit and listen to someone reading the Bible slowly and write it down, because that's the only way they're going to ever have a Bible.
You know what? I think we hear a lot about North Korea lately in our mainstream media. We are hearing a lot about the Middle East in the mainstream media. Maybe you can give some suggestions to our listeners so that when they're hearing these things, just in their everyday listening to the news or watching the news, they would be moved to think a little more deeply and think more prayerfully for the ministries that are taking place, because often what we hear is the negative of what's happening in these regions of the world. What can Christians do to go deeper, to research the stories, but also to be informed in how they can pray for these regions that are really closed off in many ways to the gospel?
I love the idea of using the news as a guide to our prayers. You know, if we hear about North Korea, let's pray for North Korea. When we hear about ISIS, let's pray for people in ISIS to hear the gospel and to come to know Christ. We often can do that. Gracia Burnham, who was kidnapped in the Philippines, talks about using her closet as a prayer guide. And she will look on the labels of her clothes and, oh, this was made in Bangladesh. I'm going to pray today for Bangladesh. So that's another way to motivate you or to remind you to pray for some of these countries. Voice of the Martyrs can help with that in a lot of ways. One, we've talked about our newsletter. Sign up to receive that. It's free. We'll send it to you every month. It will give you names and faces and places so that you can pray specifically for situations and for countries. That is available at persecution.com, which is our website, persecution.com. Right on the front page, you can sign up for that newsletter. We also have an app for your smartphone called Pray Today. Every day you can actually set a reminder on your phone. Every day at a certain time, it'll ding. It'll pull up a new prayer request, and you can pray for that specific country. So there's lots of ways to get involved in praying. And one of the things to remember, this is the first thing that our brothers and sisters in these countries ask us to do. They ask us to pray for them. When we go, we say, well, you know, I will say this often. I'm going back to America. I'm going to talk to American Christians. How can we help you? The first thing they say is pray for us. And the challenging thing to me is they're not saying pray that we won't be persecuted anymore. Pray that our suffering will stop. They're saying pray that we'll be faithful to Christ in spite of the suffering, in spite of the persecution. And pray that we'll be able to share Jesus with the people around us, even though we're being persecuted, even though it's costly. Pray that we'll be able to be faithful in our witness. So that's their prayer request, and that's what I would encourage our listeners to pray as well. Just pray for the brothers and sisters in these countries that God will empower them to remain faithful.
Well, thank you, Todd, for these really timely encouragements to be in remembrance and prayer for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are persevering despite great persecution. We've been talking with Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. You can find out more information on their website, persecution.org, or we'll have a list on our website as well at songtime.com. Todd, thank you again. It's always a privilege to have you on the program, and thank you for your dedication to keeping us informed about the global church.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.